I think there may have been a number of times during the course of the last 20 years that I mentioned the first Rashi in Bereshis. It should be vaguely familiar to some of you. But what we have to say today is completely new. Completely new. A completely different approach to this first Rashi. And I had thought, after all the years that I studied it, that there's nothing left anymore in the first Rashi. That's it. I did it all. And I've come to the conclusion I haven't done it all. And most probably one will need a few lifetimes to fully comprehend the depth of this Rashi. It certainly is not as simple as it seems. And we're going to take you, I believe, a giant step forward. The Rashi. First Rashi in Chumash. Bereshis. Number one. In the beginning. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Lo hayot tzarich lahatchil et haTorah elo mihachodesh hazeh lachem. God should have begun Torah not with Bereshis, with the story of creation, but it should have begun in Parashat Bo, with the first mitzvah, HaChodesh Azolachem, this month is the first of months unto you. That's where Torah should have begun. Shehi mitzvah Rishona, because it is the first commandment, Shenitztavu by Yisrael, that Israel was commanded. Uma tam. Patach b'Bereshit, so why does the Torah begin with the book of Genesis? So Rabbi Yitzchak answers, Mishum koach masav higid lamo. The power of his acts, he told to his people, this is a pasuk in Tehillim, koach masav, the strength of his deeds, he told his people, latet lahem nachalat goyim, to give them the inheritance of nations. And now he explains, what does this mean? Shim yomru umot ha'olam liYisrael, if the nations of the world will say to Israel, listem atem, your thieves, shekavashtem arzot shiv'a goyim, you conquered the lands of the seven nations, your thieves, ganavim, heim omrim lahem, the Jewish people can say in response, listen, Kol ha'aretz shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole world belongs to the Holy One, blessed be He. Hu bara, He created it. That's what Bereshis tells us about. He created the earth. Unetano l'ashe yashar b'yinov, and He gave it to the one whom He found to be proper in His eyes. But it's so no, it was His will. Netano lahem, He gave it to the nations of the world. And then Ubirit so no, and then it was his wish, Netola mehem, it was his will. He took it from them, Unetana lanu, when he gave it to us. This is the famous Rashi. Why does Torah begin with the story of creation? To which Rabbi Yitzchak responds that, listen, someday the nations of the world may accuse us of being thieves, bandits. We stole Eretz Yisrael, so our response to them is, listen, God created the world, gave it to them, took it from them, gave it to us. It's not so simple. It's not so simple. In order to show you the extent to which it's not so simple, number two, we have the first of Ramban in Chumash. Ramban. The Ramban begins by quoting the Rashi, and then he says, V'yesh lish'ol ba. We have to ask, what was Rabbi Yitzchak's question? What did he have in mind? Rabbi Yitzchak says, we didn't need the story of creation. Ramban doesn't say, well, what do you mean you don't need the story of creation? The story of creation is the pillar upon which all of Yahatut stands, that we believe God created the world. What do you mean not begin with that? You have to begin with the beginning. A person who doesn't believe that God created the world has stepped outside of Yahatut. This is a fundamental principle of our faith that everything depends on. V'yesh lishova. What's Rabbi Yitzchak talking about? There is great necessity to begin Torah with Bereshit, ki hu shoresh hu emunah, because that's the root of all faith. V'she'eino ma'amin b'zeh, whoever doesn't believe that, v'choshev and thinks she'olam kadmon, anybody who believes that the world kadmon means that the world always was here and it never came into being by a creation of God, kriatio ex nihilo, that God created something from nothing, but you believe that the world was always here, he's a kaifa be'ikah, finished. He has rejected all of Yadut. V'ein lo Torah klal, he has nothing. All Torah depends on the idea that we believe with perfect faith. Bereshit bor Elokim et Hashemayim et Haaretz. How can Rabbi Yitzchak say, why does the Torah begin with it? Can you imagine Rabbi Yitzchak asking, what do I need the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? What do you mean, of course we need the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? And here he asks, what did we need? The story of Bereshis. The Ramban says, of course we need it. Fatshuva. The answer, what he's going to say now, is why is Rabbi Yitzchak's question a good question? Mipnei shemase Bereshit sod amok. Amok eino muvan min amikraot. The story of creation as it appears in Torah is a deep secret that you cannot understand from the text of the Pesukim. You can read through the text and know what was created on day 1, 2, 3, 4. How man was created, how woman was created, the sin of the Eitz Hadat. You can read all of that. You think you'd understand it? You don't understand it. The fact is, the Gemara says that the story of Bereshit is sowed amok. It's a deep secret. You can't understand it from the Pesukim. V'lo yo yivoda al burio, nobody can understand it. Clearly, elu mipi hakabola ad Moshe Rabbeinu mipi hagvura. The only one who can understand it is the one who received it by tradition from Moshe, and Moshe received it from God, and this was handed down from generation to generation. There were individuals in each generation who understood it. And the Gemara says, Yodav, those who know the real meaning of Parshat Bereshit, Chayavim lahastiroto, they have to conceal it. You can't share those secrets with the world. So in other words, if your whole life you thought you understood Bereshis, let me let you in on a secret. None of us truly understand Bereshis. Maaseh Bereshit. Maaseh Bereshit. Yesh shnei dvarim. There's Maaseh Bereshit and Maaseh Merkava. Maaseh Bereshit is sod amok. That's what he says. Lekach omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Now he explains, that's what Rabbi Yitzchak was asking. Where do you start Torah with something that cannot be understood anyway? What's the point of writing it all when the average, the above average, the great Talmud Chacham, if he doesn't have some kind of a connection to Sinai, doesn't understand it? That's what Rabbi Yitzchak says. Shein l'hatchalat ha-Torah tzorach b'Bereishis bara. The beginning of Torah doesn't need Bereishis bara. And the story, Bamen Nivro, what was created the first day, what was done on the second day, and the rest of the days, V'harichut, and the lengthy discussion about the creation of man, and Chava, their sin, and their punishment, the story of Gan Eden, men being cast out from there. Kikol zel lo yuvan bino shlemim and aksuvim, it cannot be understood from the Psukim, the Koskeng. Certainly when you come to the story of the generation of the flood and the generation of the Tower of Babel, we read the stories, we know the stories from childhood on, we knew them, but we don't really understand. We don't really understand. It's beyond our ken. V'yaspik l'anshei ha-Torah b'ladei ha-ktuvim ha-eleh. Now he says, what do you need? You need to believe that God created the world? Fine. In the Aseret HaDivrot it says, Ki sheshet yomim osu Hashem et hashamayim ve'et haaretz et hayom v'esha kol hashebam. God made the world in 6 days. Vayonach v'yom hashvi'i, and he rested on the seventh day. That's it. So from there I know that we believe with perfect faith that a world was created, brought into being by an act of God. And all the rest, really, Rabbi Yitzchak is asking, it should all remain part of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral law. All of the whole understanding of the Chet of Adam HaRishon and the Onesh and Cain and Hevel and Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga. The only thing that we really need to know as a pillar and an underpinning of all of Yahadut is the idea that God created the world. Okay, so it says it in the Ten Commandments. Now we understand Rabbi Yitzchak's question. So what does Rabbi Yitzchak answer? Rabbi Yitzchak's answer is, Rabbi Yitzchak's answer is that in the event that the nations of the world are going to accuse us of having stolen Eretz Yisrael, so we can point to Torah and say, listen, there it is. God took it from you and gave it to us. There's a question that always bothered me and bothered many others. And there are all sorts of answers given. It doesn't bother me that much this year. And we're going to tell the Goyim that God gave it to us. That's really going to cut a lot of ice with them. And they're going to be so impressed. You know? It's not a joke. I'm beginning to think, if we would take a principled stand of saying, this is ours because God gave it to us, they may not like it, but they may even have a little bit of respect. Whenever the Palestinians say, this is our moledet, and we're not giving up one inch, it's okay, they can get away with it. But no, we can't do that, obviously, because there are some people in our midst that don't really believe in Torah or believe in God. So the question doesn't bother me that much. If for the last 59 years we would be saying precisely that, oh, there might be a whole different atmosphere in the world. It's only because we leave the impression that we're ready to compromise here, we're ready to compromise there, we're ready to give away shticker, that we have lost our ability to hold on to anything. But that was not a political statement. This was a statement of a metziut, a reality. This is reality. If we would stand on a principled position, listen, what can I do? God gave it to us. Take a look in Torah. But all right, that aside, I found a very beautiful, beautiful idea. More than what it may sound like at first. Now obviously the Rashi is addressing itself more to us than it is to them. But here comes the great chiddush. Koach masav higid liyamo latet lehen nachlat goyim. Do you know what we learn from this first Rashi? You know what Rashi is trying to tell us? That we have to believe with perfect faith that when God gave us Eretz Yisrael, that was an act that was just, proper, correct, right, and not to question, well, why did the other nations have to be cast out? We have to realize that there's no such thing as any kind of injustice before God. Hatzur tamim palo kichol derachav mishpat keil emuna ve'ein avel tzadik v'yosher hu. God is righteous and he's yosher. He's straight. He straight means that we have to believe that the act of giving us Eretz Yisrael once, twice, and then a third time is something wherein there is absolutely no crookedness, no connivance of any sort. Why? Here comes the development of it all. Number three. This is the introduction of the Netziv to Sefer Bereshit, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. Zeh HaSefer HaNikra Sefer Bereshit. This book that's called Sefer Bereshit, Nikra B'fi HaNeviim, is called by the prophets Sefer HaYashar. As the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, you'd have to look now, but you'll get on the other side. I have the source for this. Al shnei mikraot, there are two psukim in Sefer Yeshua where it says Halohi Ksuva. It says about something it has already been written. B'Sefer HaYashar. Sefer HaYashar. And in Sefer Shmuel it says Vayomer. David, in his eulogy for Shaul and his children, Lelamed Bnei Yehuda Keshet, to teach the sons of Yehuda how to use bows, Hine Ksuv al Sefer HaYashar, it's written in Sefer HaYashar. Why is Bereshis called Sefer HaYashar? What is the Sefer HaYashar? So the Gemara says, Umeforesh Rabbi Yochanan Zeh Sefer Avrom Yisuf Yaakov. Sefer Bereshit has another name. In Tanakh, by the Nevi'im, Sefer Bereshit is called Sefer HaYashar, because it's the story of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are called Yesharim. Shenema, as it says, Bilam said, Tamot Nafshi Mot Yesharim, I want to die the death of the Yesharim, the straight ones. He didn't want to live like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but he wanted to die like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'yesh lahavin. We have to understand Hatam Loma Koro Bilam et Avotenu B'Shem Yesharim B'Yichud V'lo Tzadikim O Chasidim V'Chadome. Why did Bilam call Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov Yesharim? Why didn't he call them Tzadikim O Chasidim or Ga'inim, or Maran? I mean, we have so many titles available today. He called them Yesharim. You have to understand the meaning of the word Yashar, and that's going to be the substance of this whole shiur. Yashar, at this point we will say that Yashar is that which is right, that which is correct, that which is fair, that which is honest, that which is decent. And we have not yet exhausted the meaning of the word Yashar. So the Netziv asks, why did Bilam call Sefer Bereshit Yesharim? V'gam lama mechune zeh ha-sefer b'yichud b'kin Yesharim. Why is Sefer Bereshit specially called Yesharim? And Bilam hit Palil al Atzmo, and Bilam prays about himself. His end should be kimo bale zeh hakinui, like those people who are called Yesharim. So then it says it's the following: in Nizba'er b'shirat hazinu. I just said the pasuk before in Hazinu. It says, and by the way, this is said when one comes to a on the cemetery to a funeral. We say Hatsur Tomim Paolo, whatever God does. We accept the divine judgment. Hatsur kichol drachov, all of his ways are mishpat. Keil emuna, God whom you can trust. Ve'ein ovel, he doesn't do things that are wrong. Tzadik v'yoshar hu. And then it goes on to say, the shevach yoshar hu, nemal hatstig din HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'churven b'ayit sheni, shohoyodor ikesh u'ptaltol. The great chiddush of the Netziv is that God is called Yashar, and that is being said in order to justify and explain why God destroyed the second Beit HaMikdash. Because they were a crooked, ikeshu p'talton, they were a crooked and bent generation. And watch how he describes it. It's frightening. This is a very famous Netziv. Upirashna, when we explain Shohi with Sadiqim v'chassidim v'amelei Torah, they were righteous, they were good people. In other words, Sadiqim and Chassidim and amelei HaTorah who worked in Torah, achlo hayu yisharim b'halichat olamam. They weren't straight in their everyday activities. Al kain, therefore, because of sinat chinam b'libam, because of hatred of their hearts, zeh, choshdu, they always suspected that at misha ro'u, shenoeg shelo kedatom b'yirat Hashem, shehu tzeduki v'apiketus. If somebody didn't conduct themselves precisely as the way he did, I don't know, you know, who knows what kind of things people look at as not being from, so they held this guy's an apikairis and he's a gonish megonish. Their relationship to fellow man was not yosher, it wasn't right, it wasn't correct. And he says they came to spilling blood, and he says b'derech haflog, it doesn't mean they killed. But you know, you can spill somebody's blood without killing him.
You can bring somebody to commit suicide.
All right. Okay. So therefore, ulechol harod shebaolam, and it brings to all of the evil in the world, at shechorav habayit, until the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. So he says, this is the what was saying, tzaddik v'yashar, who God was right. Because in addition to Torah and Yiddishkeit and Kiyum of Mitzvahs, a Jew has to be Yashar. And this is going to include a lot of things. What is it going to include being Yashar? Yashar is going to include what the Ramban says on the Pasuk of Osita HaYoshar V'Hatov Be'enei Hashem Elokecha. And we spoke a few months ago about this Pasuk. You should do that which is yosher, which is right, which is correct, and what is good in the eyes of God your God. What does the pasuk mean? What kind of a mitzvah is this? You should do what's right. What does it mean that you should do what's right? So the Ramban says, our rabbis have a beautiful medrash. Amru, they said that this refers to pshara. People have to learn how to compromise. And people have to know how to go beyond the law. Not everything is the law. Not everything is the law. There are times that you have to know, no. You know, sometimes people can make a a whole federal case on 50 shekel when one should have either forgotten about it or decided, okay, we'll split it. No. People stand on principle. You have to be yosher. You have to be straight. You have to be correct. You have to be fair. You have to be honest. Ki mitchila, the Ramban goes on to say, at first the pasuk had said, shetishmar chukav ve'edol tav asher tzivcha. You have to keep God's mitzvahs. And now what he's saying, in Vasita HaYosha V'atov, do that which is right and good. You know what he's saying? Even where God did not command you specifically, Torah cannot outline each and every possible case of difference of opinion that will ever arise between people. It's impossible. So the Torah gives you a rule, what kind of a frame of mind you have to develop. The frame of mind you have to develop is Asisa HaYoshev HaTov. Do what's right and what's good. And he goes on to say, Va'ata Yoma. Now the Torah says, Gam Basher Lo Tzivcho, even where God did not command you specifically, Ten Datra, pay attention. La'asot HaTov HaYoshev Be'inav. Ki Hu Ohev, because God loves Tov V'Yoshev. V'ze inyan gadol, the Ramban says, oh, this is a very important thing. L'fi she'yefsha l'haske v'Torah kol hanhogos ha'odam im shechina v'reyav. Torah cannot describe and define and rule about all of the possibilities of problems between a man and his neighbors and his friends. V'chol maso matono. And in every area of business, v'tikunei ha'yishuv, and how people should live together, v'hamedinot, and states, kulam olam, can't. So there has to be a general rule. And the general rule is, v'asisa yoshev atov. And he says that it all flows from achadeshe hiski mehem harbe, if the God had already Torah told us many guidelines for v'asisa yoshev atov. Kagon, for example, lo telech rochel, you shouldn't be a talebearer. Lo tikon velo titor, you shouldn't take revenge. Lo tamor al dam reyecho, don't stand idly by while your brother, your friend is in great trouble. Lo tchalel cheresh, don't curse the one who cannot hear. Mifnei seva tokim, rise before the elderly, you kiyotza ben. Torah has already given us a lot of indications of what God considers Yosher Latov. So now the Torah in Sefer Devarim says, Chaz Haloma Bederech Klal, he comes and he tells you again, Shiyasa Tov VaYosher Bechol Dover, and everything, you should do that which is good and was right. It includes, therefore, pshoro, which is compromised, and lifnimi shurat hadin, going beyond. Ukagom mashi hiskiru. Afilim shumdina the bar metzra misalkinalei. Gemara says that if a person has a piece of land that he wants to sell, the right of first refusal goes to his immediate neighbor. I have a field there. Right next to your field, you want to sell your field, the only opportunity I could have to expand my land is by buying that. Don't sell it to anybody else, sell it to me first. The Chachamim went on to say, fascinatingly enough, that if that fellow sells it to somebody else, fellow doesn't know it, he bought it for me, I can go to him and pay him and take the land, it's mine. Menschlichkeit. That's the key word. I said it. I was really hoping to say it later, but I said it now. The meaning of Yosher is Menschlichkeit. By the way, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky uses that he uses that as a translation for Yosher. He says the following. In Parshat Lech Lecha, it's going to say, and by the way, You will see already that the whole Sefer Bereishis is the story of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the way in which they related to their neighbors, their non-Jews all around. Avram Avinu, of course, is able to stand there before God and challenge him on Sodom and Amorah, though he despised the evil of Sodom and Amorah. But he still wanted to save them. That's a kind of yashrus. That's Yosher. Rav Yankov calls that menschlichkeit. And he says, Avraham Avinu finds out that his nephew Lot has been captured. He takes 318 men and he rides out against four mighty powers. What would have happened if Avraham would have gone to ask his local Orthodox rabbi? Rebbe Laban, tell me, I have a shayla. I find out that my nephew has been captured by these four superpowers, you understand? Iran, North Korea, Syria, okay? Give me a fourth one.
Russia,
okay. These four superpowers, they've taken captive my nephew Lot. What's the halacha? The Rav would paskin, you have no right to endanger your life and the lives of all of your men. It's an impossible battle. You can't do it. There's no mitzvah on you whatsoever, no chiv. Not only is there no obligation. If I'd be talking to Avram Avinu, I'd say, Avram, the world needs you. It's awesome for you to go. Avram Avinu doesn't even consider that for a moment. He instantly goes out and does battle. So Rabbi Yankov says, Avram felt responsible for Lot. Lot's father had died in the furnaces of Ur Kasdim because he took Avram Avinu's position. He said, yes, I believe in an invisible God who created the world. And they threw him into the furnace and he died. Avram feels responsible for Lot. And therefore, even though Lot has already moved away and he's living near Sodom and Amorah, all of that, he feels a responsibility, and that sense of responsibility, that sense of Yosher, that Rabbi Yaakov calls Menschlichkeit, is that which sends Avraham Avinu out on that ride, regardless of reality. He says, that's Yosher. You can't pass a halacha about Yosher. but somebody who has it, has it. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had Yashrus. Had Yashrus. The Rashi over here is saying, if God forbid somebody in any way questions our right to the land, it's not only questioning our right to the land. You are questioning God's Yashrus. Tzadik v'yosharu. Do you... So, you know, my problem, of course, was when I'm talking about God's Yashur, I can't call it Menschlichkeit, so I have to call it Gettlichkeit. There's a Gettlichkeit by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And the Gettlichkeit is that you do what's right. I had a Shaila. Somebody called me yesterday about a Shaila. A Shaila of a few hundred shekel. Yeah. Anyway, I asked this person, how would you feel best? How would you feel? He said, you know, I don't want them to pay me for it. Nah, I don't want it. You'll feel better? So I said, okay, but first tell me what they're going to say over there. Because she was on her way someplace where they were going to discuss this. She says she came in, and the fellow immediately said, okay, let's split it. So she said, okay. And she called me back, and she tells me, he said, split it. He was happy about it, I asked? Yeah. Were you happy about it? Yeah. That's Yosha. Not a question of he owes, he should, he did wrong, this. Yosha. Because by Yashrus, everybody walks out feeling good. Nobody feels that they've been bested or they lost. Yosha. Sefer Bereshis is called Sefer Yosha. There's another opinion in the Gemara that says that Sefer Devarim is called Sefer Yosha because that's where it says Vasisa HaYosha VaHatov. Let's turn over for a moment. I'm just going to give you a number of examples how the idea of Yosher, you will find it in the whole story of creation. All you have to do is look for it. You'll find it as you go through all of Sefer Bereshis. Because remember, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it's all before Torah was given. All before Torah was given. Which means that whatever they were doing on the basis of their Seichel HaYoshar. Not only is there Yoshar Menschlichkeit, there's Seichel HaYoshar. You know, you have to have Seichel even to know how to be right and correct. You have to know what the right thing is. And what in fact Rashi is also telling us over here is that at the creation of the world, God already implanted the seeds of the idea of Yashrus. He creates a world and it's his, and therefore he will decide who deserves this piece of land and who doesn't deserve it. And that whatever he does is going to be with Yashrus. And that the human being has that sense of Yashrus in his mind. What did Shlomo HaMelech say in Koheles? Elokim oso et ha'adam yashar. Vehema bikshu chishbono teratim. God made man yashar. He made him straight. But then man comes into a world that's not too straight. And when you're in a world that's not too straight, you become a shtickle crook in yourself. You have to be very, very careful. One has to be very careful. You can sometimes pick up things that you're... I resist to the best of my ability not to go out and pass another car in front of me because there are three guys honking behind me. They can make you a sugar. And you can think, I got to stag it. I can't. Yeah. Maybe they're right. No. There are times even when I do something that's not so yashar. If a guy honks me, I start driving slowly. Take it easy, Habibi. That's not so yashar. I shouldn't do that. I'm going to do tshuva on that. But you have to make sure that a society doesn't begin to change your whole way of thinking and feeling. To be able to maintain the ability to know what's right, what's fair, what's just, what's honest, what's menschlich. That means that this Rashi is not simply a Rashi about to whom does Eretz Yisrael belong. This Rashi is talking about our understanding of the essence of God. The essence of God is Yashar. And if God forbid, I say it again, if God forbid we have any kind of doubts about whether we are justified in having the land and that Nebuch others had to be dispossessed, then we are questioning God's Yashrus. And if you question his Yashrus, you're already playing a very dangerous game that's on the brink of Kvira. If you reject God's Yashrus, you have rejected the essence of his being. Let's take a look at number 7. I have 3 Rashis here from Parshas Bereishis. It's not simply the first Rashi, there are a few other Rashis. And I did something that I never did before. I have one Rashi here that you'll have to look at it a little. I just wasn't going to make a third sheet to get one Rashi on. So we got everything in over here. It's not so pretty, but it's okay. Rashi, number 7. Nase Adam, let us make a man. To whom is God saying, let us make a man? He's saying to the malachim, the angels, the whole society up there. Rashi says, "An v'tanuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lamadnu mikan, the humility of the Holy One, blessed be He, we have learned from here. Lefi sheha adam b'dmus hamalachim, since man is in the likeness of the angels, v'yit kanubo, and they would be jealous of him. Lefi chach nimlach behem, for this reason God consulted the angels. And when he judges the kings, who nimlach betamal yishalo, he consults his retinue in heaven. Shekein matzinu v'yachov, we find by Achov, king of Israel, Shomalo Micha, the prophet Micha told him, Ra'iti at Hashem, I saw God Yoshev al Kiso sitting upon his throne, v'chol tzvo hashamayim, Omed olav miyemino misvalo, and I saw all the hosts of heaven standing around God to his right and to his left. V'chiyesh yeminu smolafanav. What does it mean? God has a right hand, God has a left hand. What does it mean that Michal says, I saw them all standing to his right and to his left? So he says, you know what it means? Ela elu maiminim. Those to the right are the ones who will pass judgment on Achav that will be in his favor. Masmi'ilim are the ones who will find him guilty. The Elu Masmi'ilim, these 10 to the left, arguing for guilt. The Chain, and it also says in Sefer Daniel, Begzeirat Eden Pidgoma, by the decree of the angels, is the word Ubimeimar Kadishin Shilton, by the statement of holy ones, is the edict. Afkan, God consulted his Knesset in heaven. And he took permission. Amalahem, he said to them, In the highest spheres there are those that are like me, the angels. If there is none like me in the lowest spheres, there will be jealousy in Maisa Bereishis, in creation. So therefore, just like there are angels above, there has to be a man below. And therefore he says, Nasa Adam, let us make a man. We don't have to understand a word of what it all means. That's not important at all. That's totally unimportant. But there's a message. And the message is a simple one, but yet very profound. The message is that God is humble. God will consult with others. God wants to make certain that there is balance in the world. You know what all these are? These are the functions of Yashar. He has all the right in the world to make his own decisions. He doesn't have to consult anybody. He's the boss. He's the boss. You can be boss von Heintes Morgen, but you can be a boss without a shred of Yashrus, without a shred of Gettlichkeit, and then you can be a boss who is Yashar. And Yashar means, number one, to consult. To consult so that there is no complaint against God in heaven. Doesn't make any difference. We don't understand a word, but we understand the idea. And that ultimately the idea that there should be no jealousy in creation, that creation should be absolutely balanced. There are those in his likeness above and there are those in his likeness below. Next Rashi. Ha'ma'odot ha'gedolim, on Wednesday, the fourth day, he created the great luminaries, the sun and the moon. Shavim nivru. They were created equal in size. V'nitmata halavana. And then the moon was diminished and reduced in size. Why? Al shekitriga. Because she complained. And she said, you can't have two kings with one crown. You can't have two ma'orot gedolim. So God decided, okay, you complained, reduced in size. The next part of the pasuk says that he placed in the heavens shnei hamorot hakatos, the two great luminaries, the et hakochavim, and the stars. Look what Rashi says. Ayidei shemi'et et halavana, because he reduced the size of the moon, he made its hosts many, lahafiz data, to make the moon feel better. God was absolutely justified in reducing the size of the moon, but he felt bad. You know, you have to console the moon. But do you hear what kind of consolation this is? He created the stars. The stars are awesome in size. Most probably all of the stars in the galaxies are bigger than the sun and the moon and a million suns and moons. Moon Allah, I want you to feel good. I had to reduce your size, you know. Your salary is going to go down by 50%. But we'll give you perks. And the perks are the kochavim. You know what this is? This is menschlichkeit. This is menschlichkeit. The convention doesn't hold a grudge. I had to do what I had to do. And, you know, I can imagine a father saying, you know, it hurt me more than it hurt you. You understand? I had to do it. But then he wants to make it up to the moon. And in what an awesome celestial way he makes it up to the moon. This is menschlichkeit. This is menschlichkeit. Turn the sheet around. Vayipach ba'apav. God made man, and what did he do? He blew into his nostrils. What did he blow into his nostrils? So Rashi says in the neshama, asa'o min hatachtonim, man was made from the lower realms. He was made out of earth. Umin ha'ayonim, and from the upper realms. Guf, his body, is from the lower realms. Uneshama min ha'ayonim, and the soul is from the upper realms. Men is a composite, if you will, a composite of shamayim v'odetz. Why does it have to be this way? So Rashi says, l'fisha b'yom, v'nishom, because on the first day, what was created? Shamayim v'odetz. So you had representatives of the upper and the lower realms. Basheni, God created Rakia, that the firmament created the sky for the upper realms. Bashlishi, to balance out what was done on the second day. On the third day, Teira Hayabasha, let the dry land appear. That was for the lower realms. Boravi, on the fourth day, he created the Maorot, the lights. That was for the Elyonim, for the upper realms. So now he has to balance it out again, and therefore Bachamishi, on the fifth day, Yishritzu Amayim, let the waters teem with fish and life, Latachtonim. Huskak Bashishi, we have only one day left. And in this one day, we need representative of the upper and the lower realms. So what did he do? He created man. And man is a composite of Shemayim and Oretz, Neshama and Guf. You think you understand the word of the Rashi? We don't understand the word of the Rashi. But there's a message that we get from the Rashi. There has to be a sense of balance. You have to do things with a cheshbon. And the cheshbon has to be a cheshbon that is based on the idea of Yashrus. The idea of Yashrus. Let's go back to the first Rashi. What does Rashi say over there in the middle? Shem Yomru Umos Olam, smack in the middle. That if the nations of the world are going to say, Listematem, you are thieves, Shekavashtem, Arzol Shiva Goyim, you conquered the land of the seven nations. Haimom Riblehem, Israel responds by saying, Kol Oret Shu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hu Beroah, he created Unitana, and he gave it. Look at what I have underlined. La Asher Yoshar Be'enav. You know who he gives it to? Just as God is Yoshar, he gives it to the people who are Yesharim. More than that, Gemara says, Derech Eretz, Mishnah says, Derech Eretz Kodma La Torah. Derech Eretz precedes Torah. What's Derech Eretz? The Sefer of Torah. Torah is given there. The first mitzvah is given there. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. All of the formal mitzvahs are given. But what did man live with until formal mitzvahs were given? You have to live with the idea of Yashrus. And therefore the Rebbeinu, when he gives Torah, he has to make it clear. He has to make it clear that even after everything is said, we can't cover it all. Not everything can be explained and expounded. You have to develop a sense of what's right. And you know, it's not so easy. It's not so easy to develop that sense of what's really Yosha, what's right, what's right. Would I be going a bit too far if I would say, what are we called? Yisrael, Yoshar, Kael. We are Yoshar, we're supposed to be Yoshar, and we derive our description and definition of Yashrus and our innate sense of Yashrus from Kael, from the Rebbeinu Shlomo, because we were created that way. That's what it's all about. I had begun speaking on Shabbos Shuvah, and then Hoshana Rabbah at night, and an idea that I hoped to expand further. Did I think we got to take off 10 years from all of our attempts at dealing with the nations around us? And we have to spend 10 years completely dedicated and devoted to turning this Yisrael into a society that is Yoshar and that is Tov. There's so much to be done. I can see waging all-out war against corruption, carnage on the road, violence in the home and in the school, a battle against drugs. Move, get all the bums out of government. Clean up the place. Clean the streets. Clean the streets. That makes me crazy. I always say, I see a piece of dirt on the floor over here. It's the Rebbeinu Shlomo's living room. In other words, there's a whole idea. There doesn't have to be a halacha that says keep Yerushalayim clean or keep Eretz Yisrael clean. That's Yasha. That's Tov. That's Tov. Wait, Yasha. Mom is Yasha. I go crazy in Harnova, and it's the Chas V'Shalom. I don't want anybody to think that it's Harnova is a wonderful community. I love Harnova. But you know, you can have somebody who comes in and just got a fridge and a washer and a dryer, and there are big cartons, and they just take the big cartons and they put them into the green dumpster, and for the next week nobody can put anything in there. You understand? All finished. There are certain yashras you have to understand. My wife and I, we were driving and we saw somebody take a bag of garbage, just mommy dropped it on the street. We both looked and we couldn't believe it. We thought maybe it'd come around to pick it up. No, just dropped it on the street. There's Yashar in the whole area of Bein Adam L'Chaverel, the idea of Menschlichkeit. That's what the Netziv is saying. The Netziv is saying that Bayit Sheni, the Sinas Chinam, means that though they were tzaddikim, but there's a special area of human relationships that have to be judged and have to be conducted according to the rules of Yashrus, that which is Yosha. Yes. V'alachta b'drachav. Yes.
So, you say, well, you do the mitzvah, you follow the way. No. Following my way is following the midah.
V'alachta b'drachav mahu rachum, just as he is merciful, you should be merciful. Mahu, which is what I'm saying now is what the Rashi is saying. Mahu Yoshar, just as the Rebbeinishim is Yoshar, as it said at the end of Sefer Devarim, Tzadik V'Yoshahu, Tzadik V'Yoshar. So therefore the message of all of Sefer Bereishis is you have to be Yoshar. By the way, one final comment. I believe that Rashi brings this first Rashi is not simply our right to Eretz Yisrael, not simply the idea that God is Yosher and we have to believe that he's Yosher. This is in place of an introduction to Sefer Bereishis. The Ramban wrote an introduction, the Netziv wrote an introduction, the Evan Ezra wrote an introduction, everybody wrote an introduction. And Rashi didn't write an introduction. This is the beginning of his great work. His introduction is in that first Rashi. That first Rashi establishes the principle that the Rebbeinu Shem is Yashar, and we have to be Yashar like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's what the whole Sefer is all about. That's why Bereishis is called Sefer HaYashar. That's it. I am considering very seriously. Very seriously next week of giving the Shabbos Shuvat Rasha. So it's not bad, by the way. It wasn't bad. I may even find some Rashi in Noach that will fit it, but that's what we're going to do.